Good morning. Welcome again to Good News Bible Chapel. For those of you who have not yet met me, my name is Pete Smith. It is a joy to see you guys here this morning. Today we are in part two of our series titled Relationships 101. When's the last time you were angry? When's the last time you got beyond normal angry? Several years ago, my parents had bought a nice drone for my daughter Charlotte for her birthday, and she took really good care of it, and she knew how to fly it well. A few months before arriving and moving to Attleboro a few years ago, I borrowed her drone with her permission, but I wasn't good at flying it. And one time, I didn't land it very softly, and I cracked one of the arms to the drone. And so I ordered the replacement parts, but the parts never arrived. So I decided to just buy a new drone and use the old one for parts. And when I did, Charlotte gave her broken yet still flyable drone to her brother, Cy. And I was surprised that the broken drone flew so well. And I told Cy very clearly, I said, "Don't break the drone. We need it for parts." He had his very own drone that he bought with his own money coming in the mail the very next day, actually. And the next morning, Cy took the old drone that it was given to him by his sister, and he took it outside, and he began to use it as a weed whacker. And he eventually took the drone apart and threw it in the trash. Now, I found it in the trash, and when I did, I went ballistic. Like, I was beyond reasonable. I was seriously angry, right? I was totally overreacting because he broke something that was already broke that I told him not to break. When's the last time you were truly angry like that? Who in your life angers you? No sharp elbows this morning, all right? How did you respond when you got angry? Did you get even? Did you get revenge? Did you get violent? Did you throw stuff or kick stuff or punch stuff? Did you yell? Did you shout at someone as if raising the volume of your voice will transform them? Or did you get cold-hearted towards them? Did you get passive-aggressive? Did you slander their name and complain about them all the time to everybody that you talk to? Did your anger achieve what you wanted it to achieve? Were you successful in defraying your anger, or is that what you feel all the time permanently? Did you ever have any sense to even think about your anger, or did you just simply emote? Maybe you can't change how you feel when you get angry, but you can change how you think about how you feel. And at some point in our lives, we're all going to get angry, and we can't do nothing. And so someone once said that staying angry is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. We all have to choose to respond to our anger somehow. So today I want us to think about anger from a biblical perspective and what it does, what's going on in a relationship, and consider how it is that we can defray our anger. So I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. If you need a Bible, we have some Bibles out in the entryway. Chapter 4, that's the big number in your Bibles, and we're going to be at verse 26. That's the little number in your Bible. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. If you need to use the table of contents, go right ahead. Ephesians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a group of local churches in Asia Minor, and he writes something that many of us are going to probably find surprising this morning with this topic about anger, okay? He writes this, in verse 26 of chapter 4. He says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Note that this is not a condition, okay? Paul doesn't say if you're angry or when you're angry. Rather, it is a command, be angry. I checked the Greek, and it's in the imperative. Why does Paul command these churches to be angry? Are churches supposed to be angry places? If that's the case, I don't know if I want to be a part of a church like that. Now, this doesn't command us to be angry at everything, okay? We're not required to be angry for no reason, okay? In the context of this letter, Paul is actually referring to the church's attitude towards sinful behaviors among the Christians within their church setting who continued to live unchanged lives from how they used to live. They become Christ followers, but they don't live any different than the way they used to live. And so there's supposed to be some anger about that. Okay, he's talking about a righteous anger here. There is a biblical warrant for righteous anger. It might even surprise you to discover that in the Old Testament, God's anger is referred to 39 times. In the New Testament, when Jesus comes on the scene, we see that he gets angry with the money changers at the temple, right, who were interfering with the worship of the Lord. He was angry when his disciples prohibited and stopped children from coming up to him. And there was another time when some of his disciples wanted to rain down fire and brimstone from heaven on a little town and a little Samaritan town. And he was angry with his disciples for wanting to do that. He was also angry with the Pharisees who opposed the healing and preferred to use the law to put a burden on people. Okay? If the Lord God of Israel and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, both felt anger and they created us with the ability to feel angry, then anger is a legitimate emotion that we all feel. Okay? Anger is not an intrinsically evil feeling. Sensing the feeling of anger is not a sin. Anger is a legitimate emotion. Okay? God created us to sense it, okay? So, be angry is the command, but the prohibition here is do not sin. Don't make a deliberate false step when you experience the feeling and the discomfort of anger. Now, think about it. When you're angry, you're more vulnerable to succumbing to temptation and sin, okay? It's not your normal state when you are in a state of discomfort from anger. Anger demands that we respond to it. And to explain what sins Paul had in mind, Paul goes on to write in verse 31, you must put away all bitterness and rage and wrath and yelling and abusive speech. You can be angry, but do not do these things. These are the sinful things to do in the moment of anger. You have to live with live in the spirit and forcefully remove those kind of wrong reactions to your anger out of your life. Okay, they can't be your habitual responses when you're angry. So on the one hand, we're commanded to be angry, and on the other hand, we're prohibited from sinning. And you can't divorce the two from each other, okay? And by the way, it's more difficult to not sin than it is to experience anger. Be angry and do not sin. But that's not the whole verse, okay? The second part of the verse is really important. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, if you could read the Greek, you would discover that Paul uses actually two different words for the word anger in that passage there, in that part of the verse, okay? Here in the second part of the verse, the second Greek word focuses on the cause of anger. It's not focusing on the feeling itself of anger, but the cause of. So a better translation is, don't let the sun go down on the cause of your irritation. Don't let the sun go down on the cause of your anger. Now, this is really helpful as we think about the times that we experience anger in this world, okay? We feel anger because something is going on an expectation level in our relationship with others. Okay? Last week, we discovered that all relationships have expectations built into the relationship, right? There are unspoken expectations and spoken expectations. There are realistic expectations and unrealistic expectations. And there's negotiable expectations and non-negotiable expectations. And we also learned that expectations turn into roles and responsibilities. And when two different people are in a relationship with one another in some way, shape, or form, when both of those parties involved in that relationship are perfectly fulfilling their roles and responsibilities according to the expectations of the relationship, it's going to be a stable, peaceful, fulfilling relationship, right? It's going to be full of joy. That's the goal of our relationships with others. But as is natural with time, all relationships change, right? Relationships aren't static. They're dynamic. They're always changing. There's always these internal and external circumstances and factors that are constantly challenging the status quo of every relationship, okay? All kinds of circumstances are constantly challenging the relationship. Someone's career changes, and you're married to that person whose career changed, and things change, right, in the relationship. Kids enter the picture. The car breaks down. Maybe you have a financial setback, and maybe your health breaks down. Maybe you engage, or somebody else in the relationship engages in too many commitments. Maybe their schedule changes, or your schedule changes. Maybe there's another person at work that emerges as a leader. There's changes at church. There's all kinds of changes. And when change occurs, it challenges the stability and joy of a fulfilling relationship, okay? And when change occurs, there's a potential for four different negative emotions to emerge as a result of the change in the relationship, okay? We feel a pinch when there's a change. We feel something. And the emotion is not incorrect. Okay? We can overreact to our emotion and we can underreact to our emotion, but the emotion is an indicator that something is going on at an expectations level that is in our relationship with that other person. Anger is one of the four negative emotions that we can feel there at that pinch point, okay? We feel angry because our expectations of others have been blocked. You expect someone to fulfill their role or responsibility towards you, and they didn't fulfill it, and so your expectation has been blocked. They didn't respond as you hoped or expected them to do. Now, it doesn't matter if the expectation was spoken or unspoken, reasonable or unreasonable, negotiable or non-negotiable. Anytime someone blocks our expectations, we get angry. That's the root cause of anger. For example, I expected Cy to honor my expectation to not break the drone so we could use it for parts, right? And he blocked my expectation. So I got angry. Was it unreasonable? Yes. Now, it's not enough to know we've been blocked. Okay? It's not enough to know the cause of your anger when you're angry at somebody. Anger demands that we respond to it. Okay? We have to do something about the cause of our anger before the day is over. We have to do something for the health of the relationship. And when you feel that pinch, then you feel that first twinge of anger, you need to decide quickly before the day is over to talk about your expectation that got blocked. And you got to address the person who blocked your expectation. Now, I realize that anger usually short circuits good, thoughtful communication in a tone that's really kind and respectful, right? It's hard to be kind and respectful when you're feeling angry inside towards somebody, okay? Anger, I understand, it can really seriously hinder honest discussion of the issues. And if we sin or we resort to name-calling or hostility or yelling, right, it just complicates the whole thing even more. And so how we approach somebody is really important when we're angry. James says, be slow to anger. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Okay? Multiple times in the Old Testament, it says that God is slow to anger. Okay? We need to imitate God in being slow to anger. So how do we do that? Proverbs 15:18 says, whoever is slow to anger quiets contention. Whoever is slow to anger quiets contention. They go out of their way to quiet the contention. So, if you need to take a few minutes to analyze why you get angry before you speak, that's okay. But you need to address the cause of your anger with the person who blocked your expectation. Okay? When we feel anger, we need to make the implicit explicit. Address any unrealistic expectations, or we need to see if there's something that's negotiable or not in the relationship. Okay? But here's the thing. You got to do it that day. Don't wait. The sooner, the better. Now, I got to issue a warning, because if you don't address the cause of your irritation, you could be setting yourself up for a false peace, a pseudo peace, for a little while that will only get worse the next time your expectation gets blocked again, or maybe some other expectation from that person gets blocked. If you ignore the pinch and you just keep going in the relationship, you're only one more incident away from a crisis or a crunch in the relationship. What you don't want is a whole bunch of blocked expectations in a relationship where you end up in a log jam of issues and resentment. Because that's when people decide to exit the relationship. That's when people decide to quit and stay. Somewhere in your past, someone maybe has blocked your expectations and they've sinned against you, and now you're angry all the time at everybody else. Maybe someone in your past rejected you. Maybe they laughed at you. Maybe they always favored somebody else. Maybe they crossed a moral boundary with you. Maybe they used their authority over you for selfish gain instead of serving you. Maybe they unjustly criticized you for something inconsequential, and those words sort of maybe went down into your soul. There's a numerous amount of ways your expectations of others can get blocked over the course of your life. People sin against us all the time, and the result is all you know is anger. What can you do to alleviate yourself from anger ruling your heart? Should we simply excuse the relationship? Should we excuse the behavior away and maybe sort of belittle our own righteous anger? No, that doesn't work. Okay, simply changing God's standards isn't going to work when you get angry at somebody. Okay, so how do we free ourselves from all the anger that gets built up in our hearts from our past? And in order to do that, we have to go back and we have to remember the anger of God. And in particular, we need to remember the anger of Jesus Christ as well. In 1912, the great Princeton theologian Dr. B.B. Warfield wrote an essay on the emotional life of Jesus Christ. And he pointed out, I missed some stuff here. He pointed out that it is a matter of moral perfection not only to distinguish between good and evil, but to be positively drawn toward the good and repelled by the evil. He writes, "It would be impossible, therefore, for a moral being to stand in the presence of perceived wrong, indifferent and unmoved. The emotions of indignation and anger belong, therefore, to the very self-expression of a moral being as such, and cannot be lacking to him in the presence of wrong." Okay? Jesus didn't overreact or underreact to sin, but he felt anger perfectly, and then he responded to to those blocked expectations without sin. Okay? And that means Christ's anger toward other people's sin, toward us, even outstrips our own depth of feeling. And it would be a contradiction if Jesus didn't get angry at sin. A few years ago, Dane Ortlund wrote a book titled Gentle and Lowly, and he writes, Christ got angry and still gets angry, for he is the perfect human who loves too much to remain indifferent. And this righteous anger reflects his heart, his deepest heart, his tender compassion. He is the quickest to get angry and feels anger most furiously, and all without a hint of sin tainting that anger. Okay? Do you realize Jesus Christ, he revolted against the times that people have sinfully blocked your expectations. When they've done things to harm you and wrong you, serious things. And so you need to be comforted by this. Jesus is angry actually alongside of you. He joins you in your anger. Indeed, he's actually angrier than you could ever be about the wrong done to you. In fact, Dane Orland writes, your just anger is just a shadow of his. And his anger, unlike yours, has zero taint of sin in it. And as you consider those who have wronged you, you need to let Jesus be angry on your behalf. His anger can be trusted, right? It's an anger that springs from his compassion for you. The indignation that he felt when he came upon the mistreatment of others in the Gospels is the same indignation he feels now in heaven upon the mistreatments of you. The Lord Jesus Christ is watching what's going on here, and he is perfectly judging sin now, and he will perfectly judge sin in the future. There's going to be a day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to judge everyone for all they've ever said or done in their lifetime, right? He's going to perfectly assess the people who have wronged you and blocked your expectations. The Old Testament, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Paul Tripp once quipped this, if God weren't angry with sin, there would be no hope for us. So if you're walking around in life with a life-dominating anger, and you're not able to go into the relationship and negotiate things and actually get back to the expectation level conversations, if you're always just being dominated by your anger because people have wronged you and you feel confident in your rightness all the time, and maybe you even get some sort of secret pleasure out of it, you need to trust in God's perfect judgment through Jesus Christ. Let him be angry for you instead. Trust his judgment in his time. Trust in his judgment so that you give him your anger. Let him be angry for you. He's going to be angry and not sin, even if you think you might. Okay, tell him all about who you're angry with and what they did or what they didn't do and how they expected different and how you were wronged. And you can remind him of his perfect justice in his time. And if you really trust him, you'll let it go. For some of you, you needed to hear that. Some of you, your family has wronged you, and you've already been doing this. Good for you. But some of you may be here, and you may have heard this, and you're going to continue to be vindictive, and you're going to say stuff like, God will get him. He knows. They'll get what's coming to them. And even though you trust in God's justice, your anger hasn't really subsided, has it? I remember a lady back in Kansas, and when her husband passed away, her husband's adult children grabbed a hold of the financial accounts, and she was like this. She was always like, God will get them. Her anger was still there. She trusted in God's justice and perfect justice in God's time, but she was still angry. Okay? And the reason why people do that is because their discomfort remains because people have blocked their expectations and they've never really reconciled with the people. It was good that they were angry about something legitimate, but they never did the next step to reconcile. And so what do? Right? They cancel people. And when you go and you cancel people, all you can offer to people in relationships is condemnation all the time without any hope of reconciliation. And instead of relational joy, there's no relationship, and there's joy that will never occur again. Now, first of all, when you keep feeling anger and vindictiveness towards someone, even though you say you trust in Jesus' just judgment of them, you're actually exalting your own judgment of someone over Jesus' more perfect judgment. And that's wrong. Stop trusting in your own sense of justice to remedy your own anger. But second of all, you have actually failed to realize God wants to redeem your anger. Whether you're angry for the right reasons or not, God wants your anger to be defrayed from you more than you want your own anger removed from you. He wants you to experience the relational joy with others so much so that he will personally frustrate you until you come to the end of yourself and realize how many times you've angered God for actually blocking his expectations of you. Just ask the prophet Jonah. If you haven't read Jonah in a while, it's a short, short book. Go home if you got low-level anger all the time and read Jonah. Jonah was an angry prophet. The Lord kept blocking his expectations and kept putting his finger on Jonah's heart. And he got so angry, he wanted to kill himself by the end of the book. And you know what? God didn't just let him be angry. He dealt with Jonah. He went toward Jonah. God wants to go towards you in your anger. He wants to defray that anger in you. Okay? The good news of God's slowness to anger is that as we've frustrated God, he's actually moved toward us to save us rather than swiftly judge us. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, God has been slow to anger, giving us an opportunity to repent and change and turn to him. And not until you actually own the fact that you've provoked God's anger perfectly and he feels it perfectly, not until you understand that will you begin to get your anger of others defrayed. And not until you grasp that all of God's anger was stored up and defrayed and poured out when he judged Jesus Christ on the cross instead of you. When it melts your heart, that God's anger got poured out on Jesus Christ rather than you, only when you realize the cost it took for God to defray his own anger at you, will your anger begin to be stripped from you. And when it dawns on you that God defrays his own just anger at you by pouring it all out, all of his pent-up wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross, when you get that, it begins to change you. And if Jesus Christ can take all of God's, the Father's anger for all the times people blocked his expectations when they did evil in the sight of the Lord, then surely Jesus can take all of our anger for all the times people have blocked our expectations. You can defray your anger and outrage by pouring out the anger you have on the only substitute that can handle it, Jesus Christ. When you do that, when you believe that he died for all the times you made people angry with you and for all the times others made you angry, God will redeem your anger. He can take your anger and he can reshape it so you don't underreact to big things or overreact to little things. If you have a life-dominating anger in you, you need to go to Jesus Christ today. You need to trust him to redeem you and your anger and ask for his forgiveness. Only Jesus Christ can actually dissipate your outrage. And to the degree that you behold God's slow anger poured out on Jesus Christ will be to the degree that you're slow to anger. Be angry. Do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on the cause of your anger. Address your anger with others every day. When you feel that pinch point for the first time, decide quickly, I need to do something about it. I recommend praying first. Lord, I need self-control. I am upset. this person blocked my expectations. I am angry. You saw what happened. I saw what happened. And this is how I feel. Go to the Lord in prayer. He can redeem your fallen emotions. He's the only one who can handle our anger. He can even show you, you know what, Pete, you're unrealistic. This was unreasonable. You didn't actually tell them that. You can't. That's not fair. He can reveal that to you when you're in prayer with him and you're confessing you're angry. Okay? He can help you do the right thing when you're feeling angry so you do not sin and cause further problems in the relationship. Okay? You have to trust that God really will satisfy our desire for justice because he's already satisfied his desire for justice at the death of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you're able to go back to the relationship and you're going to be able to go back and you're going to be able to go back to the expectation levels of the relationship and start to talk about those things with that person. In fact, I would suggest that you find out a little bit more about what's going on in them, okay? What James said was very important for us, right? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. When you've prayed and you've talking to the Lord about your anger, the next thing you need to do is be quick to listen with people. Ask them, how's your day going? Oh, that's why my expectations got blocked. Oh, now I get, maybe you don't know. Hey, this happened. I was expecting this. Can you fill me in on what you were doing and what happened? Oh, be quick to listen, right? Be curious. Be inquisitive to find out what took place. Assume that other person probably wants joy in the relationship with you. Okay? Be quick to listen, slow to speak. You find out what's going on. You can find out and say, oh, okay, yeah, I was really expecting this and I was really upset about this. And maybe they apologize. Maybe you're able to go back to the expectations level and say, yeah, you know what? That was unreasonable expectation. Let's renegotiate that. Let's make sure this is clear so this doesn't happen again. If we can, there are some good things you can do when you can talk about it, even though you're feeling anger because they've blocked your expectations. But here's the thing. You got to be slow to anger. You got to move towards the person just like God was slow to anger and move towards humanity, right? And the more that that grabs a hold of your heart, the more that gets to you, the more you understand that God really will and has satisfied his justice about all these problems in our relationship, the more you begin to trust in Jesus' justice, okay? He poured out all that wrath on Jesus, all that anger. He knows how to defray his own anger, and he knows how to for us to defray our anger as well. You know, here's the thing. Christians are the sweetest people. I know, because they've got their underlying anger issues defrayed by Jesus Christ. It's Spirit-filled Christians who can walk in the Spirit and respond in a healthy way when their expectations are blocked by others and they can keep relationships alive. They know that Jesus is able to keep the relationship alive with God for us. And if that's the case, then surely he can help us keep the relationship alive with others who have blocked our expectations. In Ephesians chapter 2, you have the Jews and the Gentiles and how they were not getting along for generations. And who is peace? Christ is their peace. He knows how to remove all the barriers, all the things that they expected of each other. He knows how to remove the hostility between them. He knows how to do this kind of work in our horizontal relationships. And Spirit-filled Christians are the only kind of people who understand this to the depth that they're able to start working on relationships and keep those things alive. And it's so freeing. It's actually so freeing that we can actually take our anger to the Lord and go directly to the people that blocked our expectations and get back to relational joy. You know, growing up, I felt a lot of anger. Over the course of my life, I can say I've probably felt anger more than most any other feeling. I had a lot of issues growing up. I'm not perfect at defraying my anger yet. But by God's grace, I'm not where I used to be. Learning that I have to address my blocked expectations quickly and regularly, and I need to be ready to forgive rather than judge, has helped me a tremendous amount. And I think that would be helpful for you if you took that choice today and you said, you know what? I'm going to go to the Lord. I feel angry. I'm going to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. I'm going to move forward to this person. I'm not going to give them the cold shoulder. I'm not going to be passive aggressive. I'm not going to be violent. I'm not going to yell. I can get all those things out of the way. I don't have to be any of those things. I can be freed because I love Jesus Christ, and he can take my anger right now and make sure I have self-control to do it the right way in a healthy way because I want the health of this relationship. I want joy. You have to make that choice. You need to make that choice for the health of the relationship to approach that person every single day who's bugging you or doing this to you or whatever. You can do that. Now, I'm not perfect at it, but I am growing. And I hope you are too. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you're God the Son, and only you could receive the amount of wrath that we deserved for provoking you and provoking your holiness by our own sin and our own rebellion. Thank you for not pouring your wrath out on us, even though we deserve it, as soon as we sinned. Thank you for moving toward us in a healthy way, Lord. You don't act passive-aggressive at us. You don't sinfully act out from your anger toward us. Instead, you have done the healthy thing, and you have been slow to anger, and you have gone to us. You have sent your one and only Son to communicate to us. We thank you so much for defraying your anger on a substitute in our behalf. And Lord, that our anger can be defrayed by Jesus Christ as well. I pray that if there's anybody here who has had a lot of anger issues like myself, they would start to understand what's happening on at an expectation level. They would understand they've been blocked, and that they would start to respond appropriately every single day to whatever comes up that day, to go to the people that have blocked their expectations and start talking and addressing things in a healthy way. Help them, Lord, when they ask for your help. Help them to defray their anger. Help them to share with you what's going on in their hearts and their lives. Help us to remember this, Lord, so that we can be the kind of Christians that you want us to be, restoring relationships all the time, Lord. We're so thankful that you know how to remove those blockages from us, Lord. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And stand and sing.